When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and guest, Chris Fairbanks. Reading, Dr. Heidegger's Experiment by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today our guest, you may know him from the TV show Corporate on Comedy Central, his podcast Do You Need a Ride with Karen Kilgariff, and he's a comedian who will be in Boise, Idaho this weekend, September 7th, 8th, and 9th at the 208 Comedy Festival. His name is Chris Fairbanks.
Speaking of lowbrow comedy, I'm going to be in Boise, Idaho, telling mostly penis jokes.
Nice.
Yeah. I realized saying your credits, I was like, it's sort of weird that I'm saying where he is before I've said his name.
No.
Oh, well.
Mm-mm. No.
That's the rookie bring someone up mistake, is to go, the next guy's Chris Fairbanks, you'll know him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say all the things. And then, so and then, like, anyway. And,
yeah,
once
exactly.
Again, Chris Fairbanks.
When so you switch it's just like, and that's them.
Yeah.
Hello. And the guest is like, hi.
Remember when we said your name a full minute and a half ago?
Who are you talking about?
Just as a reminder.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing the show.
Of course.
Pleasure to have you.
I was in the downtown area.
One is in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And we heard your call for help me kill an hour or two. I'm in downtown and we were like, come on in, read a short story with us.
Any also, opportunity. Just
help me kill my attacker as well.
Yeah. But we were like, that's an afterthought.
I'm not kidding. It makes me sound like less of a masculine man, but I have pepper spray in my pocket.
Please, by all means.
Yeah.
I think everybody should
downtown,
carry it.
Everyone should. Every problem in this country would be solved if everyone just had some pepper spray and some brass knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
No more guns.
I love brass knuckles.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
You don't
brass
see those
gloves.
Enough anymore.
Yeah.
Just get full hand coverage.
Yeah.
Are those are gauntlets, right? Like a metal glove. That's like a knight
thing.
Well,
that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Gauntlet.
Yeah. I'm saying do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying like 1800s, like the Pinkertons.
Yes. Yeah. Something that is silhouetted on at a TSA sign that says, don't bring this, or round bombs with a wick.
Yeah, or like a lizard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Things that no one, but they are very illegal. So never mind. I don't own brass knuckles and I do not condone the use of them.
I remember I have a cousin who's like, he was like really into weapons. I feel like everybody has a cousin that's very into weapons.
Yeah. A sword cousin.
I don't.
Yeah. So he was really into like swords and like nunchucks and shit. And I remember one time he got he like got really excited because he somehow got a hold of a 1,000,000-volt taser. And
oh
he was
God.
Like, oh man, like I got like, I just, he's, I remember him like trying to like get us all amped to like see him use it. And we were like, on what? And like, why? Like no one, this is a family reunion. Like no one wants to see the 1,000,000-volt taser. He also had a butterfly knife and he was like very into that. Very into weapons.
To be trusted.
No. He used to beat me up when we were little kids a lot.
He'd wow, like, that's surprising.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought.
Wouldn't think it.
No. I knew kids like that. I had friends.
Right?
They would like, you'd fake fight or sleep, when you sleep over at their house, like that age.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend that just pull out throwing stars and throw them at the wall behind me. And I'm like, why do you have throwing stars?
Mm-hmm. And that was around the sleepover age where he had the butterfly knife, where he was like, yeah,
You guys need to stop growing up in downtown LA.
Yeah.
You know what that is? The downtown LA life. He also beat the shit out of me with a pool noodle. And he was like pinning me down and just like he like curled it so that it was like a U and was just like whapping me on the fucking face with it.
God, that it was still really horrible.
Really that's unpleasant.
That's just summertime fun.
It sucked too because I had glasses and so it was like bashing the glasses and I was like, stop. And he's like, you're spitting on me. You're spitting on me. And just like kept like beating me up with this fucking pool noodle.
Is his name Donnie?
No.
It just feels like a Donnie
scene
thing.
From Meatballs.
Yeah, very strange.
Is that character Donnie in Meatballs? Mm-hmm.
Knock it off, Donnie. I think I knew Donnie.
He's on the side of the family with Auntie Soufflé. That side.
Oh.
That's not his mother, though.
That would be so weird.
That'd be
to
so
me.
Fucking crazy.
Kelly has a very delicate aunt who we have nicknamed Auntie Soufflé.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be real weird if Donnie was her son.
Yeah. She eats tiny bites of applesauce and like wears ski jackets all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's very gentle.
And wants help lifting wet towels
because they're too heavy. But no, they're not in the same nuclear family, but they are in the same family.
Good.
Well,
something we like to ask all of our guests, since this is such a reading, the classics, sometimes pulp, but a lot of classics on the podcast. What kind of reader are you? Do you read currently?
No,
did you
I
do the
like...
assigned reading in high school?
I did, and I read a lot in college, and then I don't do a lot of extracurricular reading, and so I'm like self-conscious about that. I feel like I should read more, but I don't do a lot of things sitting. I do a lot of illustration and drawing as a side hustle.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And I've just become someone that can't even sit that long. I get too anxious, and it hurts my back. So I just am not sitting around reading.
So when you are illustrating, are you usually standing?
No, it's a sitting thing. That's why I haven't been
doing
it.
That's like the one thing.
Yeah.
I see.
I just don't like sitting.
Yeah. I don't enjoy sitting too much either, mostly because then I start like getting paranoid because like all those articles came out that were like sitting's killing you. Well, and then I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. So then I like started getting scared about that and like trying to like get up and walk around a lot.
I feel like, again, I'm a real departure from you two. I didn't have any cousins who were into weapons, and I fucking love sitting. Yeah. I love it.
If I'm resting, I want to lay down.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a very Eastern thing to not sit a lot. It's to either lay down to rest or to like be standing and walking around and stuff.
Even I'm going to read Adam Caton Holland's new book, and I think I want to hear him read it, so I'm just going to do that. Book on tape style.
Yeah.
I even have plans to not read a book.
Yeah. 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 But we're going to make you read a short story.
That's fine.
The story that we're doing today is Dr. Heidegger's Experiment by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Have any of you guys read this book before?
No.
No.
Or story? Neither have I. I know nothing about it. The only thing I know about Nathaniel Hawthorne is, I wonder if it's the same thing, all of us probably, the only thing we know about him,
Scarlet Letter.
Because I read that in high school. Everything else I didn't know he did. So, all right. What do we know about Nathaniel Hawthorne? When do we think he was born?
Oh, God. 1761.
Wow. This is the worst you've ever done. Okay, that's much better. What do you think?
I do not know the man.
1804.
I've never heard of
him. You're not familiar with him.
Scarlet Letter.
You don't know her.
No.
Okay. 1804.
I don't know her.
Wow. He died at around number. When do you think he died?
1900.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. He was 60 when he died. He died in 1864. I was not being clear.
Unclear, Kelly.
I'm sorry. Okay. So he was a novelist and short story writer. He's the author of such classic American literature as The Scarlet Letter, The House of the Seven Gables, and The Blithedale Romance. The Blithedale Romance.
Now we're talking.
It sounds like a bunch of like inbred British people.
Yes.
Like very Wuthering Heights-y to me. Probably not the same though. He comes from notorious ancestors. His great, great, great grandfather, William Hawthorne, was a Puritan and the first of the family to emigrate from England, settling in Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh.
There, he joins the Massachusetts Bay Colony, serves as a judge.
Oh, no.
Becoming infamous for his harsh sentencing.
On witches?
Yeah, I bet it was all about witches. Because it's great, 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 right? So that's that's 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
In Salem? Come on.
Bitch condemned some witches.
Yeah. He's just like catching ladies on fire.
Yeah.
And I don't approve.
Then they burn them?
Yeah, or throw them in lakes. Yeah.
What a terrible time. What a not better time. What a not better time.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. God,
what a slightly less good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, slightly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I read this incorrectly. William Hawthorne. Huh? Because, he passes this attribute on to his son, John Hawthorne. It wasn't him. It was the son. Was one of the judges who oversaw the Salem witch trials.
Oh.
John Hawthorne. Nathaniel Hawthorne adds the W to his last name in the early 20s.
Fuck my relatives. Yes. I want no part of this.
Shortly after graduating from college in an effort to dissociate himself from his notorious forebears.
Wow. You know what? He did the right thing. Good for him.
I mean, you could change it a little more.
It suggests, though, that he knows they did the wrong thing, which I respect.
Yes.
You're not going to distract everyone by manufacturing cigarettes. Probably a different Salem. Probably a different.
Different. It's like if I suddenly, instead of going by Lindsay Katai, K-A-T-A-I, I went by Lindsay Katai, K-A-Y-T-A-I.
Yeah. And you're like, I changed it.
I'm not Lindsay Katai, I'm Lindsay Katai.
I guess I thought everyone would be reading this.
Yeah.
I guess I only ever read it and never said it out loud. Around this time, while working as a ware and gauger at the Boston Custom House at a salary of $1,500 a year, we don't know if that's a lot or a little, Hawthorne began to write, contributing short stories to various magazines and annuals and serving as the editor of the American Magazine of Useful and Entertaining Knowledge. That's kind of fun.
Wow. What year was that?
So quirky.
So around in the early
1820s. Oh, wow. I think that was good money.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was. In his early 30s, he met and fell in love with the illustrator and transcendentalist Sophia Peabody.
Ooh, transcendentalist.
He joined the transcendentalist utopian commune, Brook Farm, in 1841, not because he agreed with her social experiments in free love and agrarian socialism, but because it helped him save money to marry Sophia.
That's where she went.
He paid a $1,000 deposit and was put in charge of shoveling a hill of manure referred to as the gold mine.
That's a lot of money.
$1,000? He paid to shovel shit? Hawthorne marries Sophia.
It's truly a paradise.
In 1842, they moved to Massachusetts, Concord. His neighbor is Ralph Waldo Emerson, invites him to his social circle, but Hawthorne was pathologically shy and stayed silent at gatherings. Oh my God, he stayed silent at gatherings. That's so sad. Oh, girl, same. Like Hawthorne, Sophia was also reclusive. Throughout her early life, she had frequent migraines and underwent several experimental medical treatments.
Oh, that's just the vapors.
Oh, she's
you don't
hysteria.
Want to undergo experimental medical
in
treatments
the
in the early
1800s.
Yeah.
Don't.
They're just like throwing ice cubes at your head.
Yeah.
She was mostly bedridden.
Ice cubes.
Do you feel better?
There's a ghost in your brain.
Ghosts hate ice. She's mostly bedridden until her sister introduces her to Hawthorne, after which her headaches seem to have abated.
Oh,
she just needs some loving.
Women's hysteria.
Yeah.
Women's hysteria. Chris had it.
Chris had it. He knows. The Hawthornes enjoyed a long and happy marriage. He called her his dove and wrote that she is, in the strictest sense, my sole companion, and I need no other. There is no vacancy in my mind any more than in my heart. Well, thank God that I suffice for her boundless heart.
Maybe he didn't. Yeah, he really didn't like all that witch stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's
a nice guy.
Yeah, I think he's a nice guy.
He's just a shy boy.
I like shy people. Remember, I haven't met one in like a decade, but they were great.
Yeah,
shy people.
I remember shy people.
I remember shy people.
Really, everyone's pretty sure of themselves now. Confidence
everyone we
everywhere.
Associate with, anyway.
Yeah, I guess it's where I live.
In turn, Sophia greatly admired her husband's work. She wrote in one of her journals, "I'm always so dazzled and bewildered with the richness, the depth, the jewels of beauty in his productions that I'm always looking forward to a second reading where I can ponder and muse and fully take in the miraculous wealth of thoughts."
Now I have a migraine.
Keep it in your pants, lady.
Yeah.
On May 19th, 1864, my God, while on a tour of New Hampshire's White Mountains, Hawthorne dies in his sleep. Mm. When Sophia receives the news, she's too saddened by the news to handle the funeral arrangements by herself. Mm.
That's hard.
Yeah, I want more of an elaborate reason, too.
Just yeah.
In the sleep?
In his sleep. That's it. Yeah. I'd be like, I need to know more.
Yeah.
It was the 1800s.
Let's solve the mystery.
How yeah. are you going to find out?
Cut the body
out?
Open.
Yeah.
They Hawthorne's
know what
son
to do once they're
no,
in
they're
there.
Like now it's open.
They're like, yeah. Oh,
there's blood.
It seems like he died because there are all these guts and stuff in
yeah. there. I thought we were letting out blood ghosts.
Everyone knows you take care of head ghosts with ice.
Yeah, yeah.
Take care of blood ghosts while just, cutting
yeah,
up your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Slice it up.
Let them out.
Hawthorne's son Julian was a freshman at Harvard, and he learned of his father's death on the same day as his initiation into Delta Kappa Epsilon.
DKE. Bittersweet.
coincidentally.
No.
Uh-oh.
Coincidentally, as part of that initiation, he no. was blindfolded and placed in a coffin.
No.
What? Did they tell him while he was in the coffin?
Never join a secret anything or... Never join a club.
No, don't join any clubs. Type of society.
Don't do a thing that like they haze you.
Don't group up.
Mm-mm. Don't be alone.
Be alone forever
be
like
alone.
Your father and mother.
Yes.
If you're lucky, you'll find somebody to be alone with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Don't connect. You want to read this thing?
I guess. Let's pull this baby up.
Dr. Heidegger's experiment. That very singular man, old Dr. Heidegger, once invited four venerable friends to meet him in his study. There were three white-bearded gentlemen, Mr. Medbourne, Colonel Killigrew, and Mr. Gascione, and a withered gentlewoman whose name was the Widow Wycherley. Widow Wycherley. They were all melancholy old creatures who had been unfortunate in life and whose greatest misfortune it was that they were not long ago in their graves. Wow, this is ageist and rude. Also, wait, they were not long ago in their graves?
They're ghost people.
They're ghosts. We've been talking so much about ghosts. These are ghosts.
Oh, they've been living in her head.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's like the twist to Sixth Sense. They were dead the whole time.
Or the others.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Medbourne, in the vigor of his age, had been a prosperous merchant, but had lost his all by frantic speculation and was now little better than a mendicant.
Fucking mendicants.
Yeah.
We do too many podcasts together, Lindsay.
It's true. I'm tired.
Colonel Killigrew had wasted his best years and his health and substance in the pursuit of sinful pleasures, which had given birth to a brood of pains, such
and
as
children.
The gout and divers. And oh, it's just diverse spelt without an E, and diverse other torments of soul and body. Mr. Gascione was a ruined politician, a man of evil fame, or had at least been so till time had buried him from the knowledge of the present generation. Men made him obscure instead of infamous. As for the Widow Wycherley, tradition tells us that she was a great beauty in her day. But for a long while past, she had lived in deep seclusion on account of certain scandalous stories which had prejudiced the gentry of the town against her. She was a whore.
Oh, no.
She was a whore.
It is a circumstance worth mentioning that each of these three old gentlemen, Mr. Medbourne, Colonel Killigrew, and Mr. Gascione, were early lovers of the Widow Wycherley.
I was going to make that joke, and I felt like it would be sexist of me, and I didn't, and it's true.
Oh,
that's
fuck.
Not, it's
they
not
all
gout.
Fucked her.
It's syphilis.
It's syphilis.
Yeah. It makes you good at art, though, for a while.
Oh. For a time.
Yeah.
Anything for art.
People used to try and get it on purpose.
Really?
Because they're like, it'll make me better at painting and piano.
Specifically piano?
Yeah, yeah. Like they're like, well, have you seen what Toulouse-Lautrec is hammering out ever since he got the sex
the
limb?
Really since he got the sip?
Yeah, people, yeah, everyone
just
wanted it.
Everybody wants to do it.
It was, it was like being on drugs, apparently.
Just like eat laudanum or
just
whatever.
Like it would mess with your... just eat some laudanum.
No, they do. They drank it.
They drank it.
Whatever. Chew it up.
It was opium.
Live your life.
Yeah.
and had once been on the point of cutting each other's throats for her sake.
Oh, shit.
And before proceeding further, I will merely hint that Dr. Heidegger and all his foul guests were sometimes thought interesting to be a little beside themselves, as is not unfrequently the case with old people when worried either by present troubles or woeful recollections.
So ageist.
So but many of our stories have been this way.
I love a narrator that's like, by the way, I shouldn't be telling you this, but here's something to know. Like, yeah.
I know, it's very conspiratorial. Yeah.
As a reader, you're really twisting my arm. Mm-hmm.
My dear old friends, said Dr. Heidegger, motioning for them to be seated, I am desirous of your assistance in one of those little experiments with which I amuse myself here in my study.
It's called an STD test. It'll be real fun for all of us, and then we can share our results with one another.
First, we all fuck each other.
Then we ask, wait 10 minutes and say, who feels different?
And then the test will tell us who was right.
If all stories were true, Dr. Heidegger's study must have been a very curious place. It was a dim, old-fashioned chamber festooned with cobwebs and besprinkled with antique dust.
Besprinkled isn't a word. He shouldn't be. Keep talking.
This person's being so scalawag.
I really want it to be a word. Besprinkled.
Besprinkled with antique dust. Around the walls stood several oaken bookcases, the lower shelves of which were filled with rows of gigantic folios and black letter quartos, and the upper with little parchment covered duodecimos.
Those are terms we no longer use.
Yep. Yes.
Folios, I know.
I know folios. I did not know the other
ones. Quartos? Maybe it's...
And duodecimos.
Yes.
Like another folder, but that's how many folders
and
there are within them.
Leather-bound dodecahedrons.
Rhombodecadron.
Am I talking about an STD or a folio? You don't know because you're too far away from this time.
Over the central bookcase was a bronze bust of Hippocrates, with which, according to some authorities, Dr. Heidegger was accustomed to hold consultations in all difficult cases of his practice. In the obscurest corner of the room stood a tall and narrow oaken closet with its door ajar, within which doubtfully appeared a skeleton. Between two of the bookcases hung
a literal skeleton in his closet.
He has a fucking literal skeleton in his closet. Is this what this came from? Skeletons in your closet.
Things are possible with these older stories.
Fuck.
I bet you're right. It would be nice to give that stupid saying a home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can finally answer the question.
Where'd that stupid fucking saying
God.
Come from?
Oh, I just think of it and I get upset.
Where'd you come from? How dare you?
That and the elephant in the room. Don't like either of them.
I don't like things in other things.
Can we about the elephant in the room?
Elephant in the room.
Up on the third shelf.
It is the elephant.
There was an elephant.
A white
it was
one.
In the room. Among many wonderful stories related of... Oh, I'm sorry. Between two of the bookcases hung a looking glass presenting its high and dusty plate with a tarnished gilt frame. Among many wonderful stories related of this mirror, it was fabled that the spirits of all the doctor's deceased patients dwelt within its verge, and it would stare him in the face whenever he looked thitherward.
Things got real weird as soon as it switched to Dr. Heidegger.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like these four old people who, like, been fucking their whole lives.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Heidegger, who has a skeleton in his closet, a big, like, head of
Hippocrates.
Hippocrates. And then just a mirror full of ghosts.
Yeah.
It's fucking haunted mirror.
The opposite side of the chamber was ornamented with the full-length portrait of a young lady arrayed in the faded magnificence of silk, satin, and brocade, and with a visage as faded as her dress.
Burn.
So like a taxidermied lady or a picture, please?
Picture.
Okay,
I'm
good,
so
good.
Sorry.
I thought it was just, no.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
Why not have a stuffed lady?
It's fucking weirdo.
Yeah. He's probably only in his 20s. How long did people live back then?
He died at 60.
Yeah, that was probably. Yeah.
And he was ancient.
So this guy, it's fucking Dr. Heidegger.
Yeah. Above half a century ago, Dr. Heidegger had been on the point of marriage with this young lady, but being affected with some slight disorder, she had swallowed one of her lover's prescription and died on the bridal evening.
Oh, I thought that sentence was going to end differently. Swallowed
yeah.
one of her lovers. And then I was like, what's coming next in this sentence?
Yeah. I was like, prescriptions.
Oh, prescriptions. I thought it was going to be hand or something.
Yeah. Swallowed one of her lover's hands.
Yeah. Thinking it would cure her.
But it was well known to be a... Oh, I'm sorry. The greatest curiosity of the study remains to be mentioned.
Apart from the ghost mirror,
they're like,
there's something
buckle
weirder.
Your fucking seatbelt. You think this is fucking crazy? Just wait until you hear about this fucking book. It was a ponderous folio volume bound in black leather with massive silver clasps. There were no letters on the back, and nobody could tell the title of the book. Oh. But it was well known to be a book of magic. And once, when a chambermaid had lifted it, merely to brush away the dust, the skeleton rattled in its closet. The picture of the young lady stepped one foot upon the floor, and a ton of ghastly faces peeped forth from the mirror.
It was the Necronomicon.
It is a fucking Necronomicon. Well, the brazen head of Hippocrates frowned and said, "Forbear!" Such was Dr. Heidegger's study. On the summer afternoon of our small tale.
Anyway, setting has been set.
A small round table, as black as ebony, stood in the center of the room, sustaining a cut glass vase of beautiful form and elaborate workmanship. The sunshine came through the window, between the heavy festoons of two faded damask curtains, and fell directly upon this vase, so that a mild splendor was reflected from it on the ashen visages of the five old people who sat around. Four champagne glasses were also on the table.
This is what happens when you just stay in the same room for years and write.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff in the room. I'm going to make it magic. It's a ghost table.
The world can come to you through the magic of writing.
Don't go outside. That's where you get...
You have to talk to people out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's where you get very scared and stay completely silent at parties.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh, I'd rather have ghosts in my mirror.
I talk to the ghosts in my mirror. I don't need to talk to real people. My dear old friends, repeated Dr. Heidegger, may I reckon on your aid in performing an exceedingly curious experiment? Now, Dr. Heidegger was a strange old gentleman whose eccentricity had become the nucleus for 1,000 fantastic stories. Some of these fables, to my shame, it be it spoken, might possibly be traced back to my own voracious self. And if any passages
Oh, you're a liar.
Yeah, he's like, I'm fucking lying.
You've been
I lie all
lying
the time.
This whole book.
And
story.
If any passages of the present tale should startle the reader's faith, I must be content to bear the stigma of a fiction monger.
What the? How are we? This is.
He's like, if you don't believe me, then call me a fucking liar, baby. I'm telling you what I saw in Dr. Heidegger's closet, a skeleton.
This guy is like the origin of the unreliable narrator.
Yes.
He's outright telling us, like, if some of this sounds too good to be true, it's because it is. I'm making it up. I'm writing this all. Anyway, back to Dr. Heidegger.
You're the one that pulled it out of me. I didn't even want to talk about this in the first place. But
stop.
You keep prying.
Yanking on my leg. Is that something?
I think that's
pulling
the term.
My leg.
It used to be pulled.
No, but
twist my arm.
Twist my arm.
Hand.
Yank my leg.
Oh, it no, I. It was actually quit yanking on my limb.
Yeah.
Quit
yeah.
yanking on my limb,
yeah.
Sirrah.
Okay, Sirrah. When the doctor's four guests heard him talk of his proposed experiment, they anticipated nothing more wonderful than the murder of a mouse in an airport. What?
These people are fucked up. Straight fucked up. He's like, come to a party at my house. We're going to kill a mouse.
Yeah.
What's crazy is he didn't even say that. They were like, Dr. Heidegger is having a party. What do you think he's going to probably put a mouse in an airport?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Murdering a mouse means that
murder.
You corner it and stab it with a tiny knife.
Yeah, like a little toothpick.
Yeah, you don't. It's not mouse murder if you just
no.
step on it.
If that's like... act of God.
Yeah.
Also, to outright say it's murder. They're not even experimenting on
no,
the mouse.
That's
They're
not
just
yeah.
like,
what is the experiment?
Hey, you want to murder yeah. a mouse with yeah. me tonight?
Do you want to engage in some mouse espionage?
We're all going to go undercover.
It's going to be
need a honey trap.
It For sounds the, pretty cute, though. It makes
it does sound really cute.
Yeah.
It's
miniatures.
Very like Rescuers Down Under.
Yeah.
It makes
oh,
me
yeah,
think,
yeah. It's like Zsa Zsa.
Yeah,
it's
very cute.
A mouse's tiny passport.
Aww.
Wearing yeah. a tiny sequined red evening gown.
Oh, that's amazing. It has like a tiny suitcase that's like filled with a bunch of tiny fake mouse documents. So amazing.
Does it get murdered in a little dollhouse?
Aww.
I love mouse
Let's
murder.
Let's do that. Maybe we do
you
that.
You know what? Let's bring back party mouse murder.
Better than trivia or something.
They had so little to do back then. Or the examination of a cobweb by the microscope. Well, that was a step down from mass murder.
Wait, so mouse like murder. Mouse murder?
Oh my God.
Or mass murder. Excuse you.
I'm a mouse murderer.
Wait, so like we can either kill a mouse or like look at this cobweb? So fucking terrible. Can you imagine like going over to a party at someone's house and they're like, I got this cobweb we can all look at real close.
I'll tell you this. Nathan really could have stood to take an improv class because that was not heightening.
Well, here's the thing also. Nathan, this is so sad because it's so obvious Nathan does not know how parties are. He's like, what do people do at parties,
right?
This is why
he doesn't go to them.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want them to make me murder a mouse or look at a cobweb because it's scary.
Wait, we're just going to have punch and talk about our days.
A little scarier. Or some similar nonsense with which he was constantly in the habit of pestering his intimates. Wow, that really is just what he would do. But without waiting for a reply, Dr. Heidegger hobbled across the chamber and returned with the same ponderous folio bound in black leather, which common report affirmed to be a book of magic. You already told us.
Yeah, we already know.
We all know
it's a Necronomicon.
It makes the dead lady come across the room.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The skeleton like walks around.
Does it glow in the dark elbow dance?
Undoing the silver clasps, he opened the volume and took from among its black letter pages a rose, or what once was a rose, though now the green leaves and crimson petals had assumed one brownish hue, and the ancient flower seemed ready to crumble to dust in the doctor's hands. Yeah, that's how that works, buddy. This rose, said Dr. Heidegger with a sigh, this same withered and crumbling flower, blossomed 55 years ago. It was given me by Sylvia Ward, whose portrait hangs yonder.
Oh, fuck. It's the dead lady's rose.
Oh, shit. You're going to try to bring her back to life. And I meant to wear it in my bosom at our wedding. 55 years it has been treasured between the leaves of
just
this old
say
volume.
55.
Yes, that's what I said. 55 years.
What are you, Abe Lincoln? Say the number.
I did 55.
That's not
you literally do the math.
It's a slower time. We're so fast-paced these days. Write with pen and paper. Say 55.
I'll see you in 2 hours and 60 minutes. So 3 hours? No.
No. You heard what I said. Now, would you deem it possible that this rose of half a century would ever bloom again? Nonsense, said the widow wittily, with a peevish toss of her head. You might as well ask whether an old woman's wrinkled face could ever bloom again. See, answered Dr. Heidegger.
She's like, for instance, like I don't know, someone that used to be really beautiful and now is older, like that, wouldn't that be kind of fun and cool if we did that experiment on like someone that was in the room?
Yeah. Probably that could happen, but like, maybe let's try that one first. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Only if powder is around. So many people have seen that movie.
I used to be real into that movie as a kid. And I love that you made a powder reference. I have done that, not on this show. Teen Creeps, I made a powder reference.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part of that movie is when he's in like a fight and then everyone slow motion takes their shirts off. And then he uses his ability of
his albino abilities
to undo.
Yes.
Yeah. Just his, I'm afraid of the sun abilities to undo this bully's pants. And his pants fall down, and then he's like, "What in the?" And trips,
Sometimes so
you can.
It's nuts.
It's crazy. He turns to pure energy.
Let's just.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold up.
No.
Who's
the
in
movie
it?
Movie about the magic albino doesn't hold up.
The guy from Dying Young. What is his name?
Sean.
Something Sean something.
Oh,
see,
something,
this
John
is
something.
All about reading books, and I just am like, please, can we talk about obscure movies? I was raised in front of a television.
Sean Patrick Flannery?
Patrick Flannery of the Catholic...
Of the...
Religion.
Of the Manhattan Flannery.
I didn't know Jeff Goldblum was in that movie. Or Mary Steenburgen. And I don't remember anybody else from that movie except for Powder.
Yeah.
Literally, the only thing I remember about Powder is him taking his shirt off and running across the fields towards the lightning as he's about to, I think, turn into just pure energy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you remembered it. That's it.
Cool. Well, my boyfriend's out of town. I'll rent it.
Nice.
That's what I'm going to take time to do by myself.
I'm just going to watch some Powder.
He texted me. He was like, is it okay if I watch Paddington 2 on the plane?
I heard it's great.
It's exactly. So fucking good. Yeah. It's so fucking good.
That's why he
good.
Was asking my permission to watch like, Paddington.
To watch it without
because
you.
We keep talking about watching Paddington 2. And I gave him my permission.
That's
I
great.
Said, I will rent it as well, and then we can talk about
it. It's pure joy, man. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it with my nieces, but I think we just watched Hereditary.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. Did they like the genre shift?
I think they enjoy horror.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's good.
Great.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror.
Books.
The horror of reading. He uncovered the vase and threw the faded rose into the water which it contained. At first, it lay lightly on the surface of the fluid, appearing to imbibe none of its moisture. Soon, however, a singular change began to be visible.
Is it coming to life?
Surely that's not how this story progresses.
What if he splashes it in the old lady's face?
What if he splashes it on the painting?
What if it gets rid of syphilis?
I would be willing to bet $1 million that this doesn't happen.
What if it turns the skeleton in the closet back to a man with skin?
What if it takes the W out of your last name and then everybody knows who your family is?
No, I'm a Hathor.
Take that rose out of that vase. Soon, however, a singular change began to be visible. The crushed and dried petals stirred and assumed a deepening tinge of crimson, as if the flower were reviving from a death-like slumber. The slender stalk and twigs of foliage became green, and there was the rose of half a century looking as... Just say 55. There was the rose of half a century looking as fresh as when Sylvia Ward had first given it to her lover. Was scarcely full-blown, for some of its delicate red leaves curled modestly around its moist bosom. Man, he wants to fuck
Dang.
This flower.
Yeah.
Within which two
You know
or three...
what? He probably eats ass.
Yeah. No, he just...
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, well, earlier, the dead rose, at least, had a brown hue. Probably, now that brown hue isn't going to be there. That's what those ass eaters love.
That's what they
brown
love, that.
Hue.
Brown
oh,
hue.
God. Why is it? Why do I have to be dirty?
You two are of such similar like minds.
Back to the flower.
So the rose is blooming.
Yeah. It was scarcely full blown, for some of its delicate red leaves curled modestly around its moist bosom, within which two or three dewdrops were sparkling.
Ooh, girl, what?
That is certainly a very pretty deception, said the doctor's friends, carelessly, however, for they had witnessed greater miracles at a conjurer's show. Pray, how was it affected? Did you never hear the Fountain of Youth, asked Dr. Heidegger, which Ponce de Leon, the Spanish adventurer, went in search of 2 or 3 centuries ago? I know history. But did Ponce de Leon ever find it, said the widow wisely. She is too much.
She is too much.
No, answered Dr. Heidegger, for he never sought it in the right place. The famous Fountain of Youth, if I am rightly informed... is situated in the southern part of the Floridian Peninsula. Pennsylvania is what I was going to say.
Floridian Peninsula?
Not far from Lake Macaco. Its source is overshadowed by several gigantic magnolias, which, though numberless centuries old, have been kept as fresh as violets by the virtue of this wonderful water. An acquaintance of mine, knowing my curiosity in such matters, has sent me what you see in the vase.
So his friend just like sent him a vase. How did you transport that?
Through a box.
Yeah, the Fountain of Youth. It's in Florida. Why don't you just go down there?
It's on the Floridian Peninsula.
It's really hard to travel in that age.
Yeah.
And they're ancient.
They're so old.
Okay, so they just like corked it up in like a vase?
Yeah, they like put in a little cask.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
With a cork.
Yeah.
The cork.
A cork to cask, and then they sent the water.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Proudly. You shall judge for yourself. Oh, sorry, I skipped. Ahem, said Colonel Killigrew, who believed not a word of the doctor's story. And what may be the effect of this fluid on the human frame? You shall judge for yourself, my dear Colonel, replied Dr. Heidegger. And all of you, my respected friends, are welcome to so much of this admirable fluid as may restore to you the bloom of youth. For my own part, having had much trouble in growing old, I am in no hurry to grow young again. With your permission, therefore, I will merely watch the progress of the experiment. Bitch has fucking, like, immortal water. Yeah. And is like, No. It's immortal. Just drink it. I don't need any myself. This I'm just going to watch. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Sketchy. Why?
I'd be like, we'll drink it at the same time.
What?
Ready?
No.
One.
No.
Two.
I'm good. I just want to watch you be young.
That sounds watch you be so young. Sketchy.
I'm
drink
just
it.
Like
drink
really
the fucking water. Drink that water right
you.
Now. Ugh, drink it before
I just
my eyes.
So
drink
much water
right now.
Like,
I don't care. Drink
I
it
actually,
now.
I really drink have to pee, but like the alcohol
go to the bathroom
is
right now.
So
go to the bathroom
far,
right now. I'll
so
catch it. I don't care. Mm-mm. Drink it.
I'm no. I just want to watch
See,
you.
I
just want you to enjoy
it.
Your life.
That's the thing. He is being so fake.
While he spoke, Dr. Heidegger had been filling the four champagne glasses with the water of the Fountain of Youth. It was apparently impregnated with an effervescent gas, for little bubbles were continually ascending from the depths of the glasses.
Yeah, bubbles.
And bursting.
Bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that bubbles are just little water babies. I'm pregnant with
short
bubbles.
Short of life.
Burp.
This is like LaCroix.
Yeah.
This is like that scene in Willy Wonka.
If it was LaCroix coconut, would you drink it, even if it made you younger?
No.
Only in the
gross.
First 5 minutes, because after that, it goes flat. No.
Sorry, looking for my place.
Sorry.
For little bubbles were continually ascending from the depths of the glasses and bursting in silvery spray at the surface. As the liquor diffused a pleasant perfume, the old people doubted not that it possessed cordial and comfortable properties. And though utter skeptics as to its rejuvenescent power, they were inclined to swallow it at once. Fucking idiots.
Nope.
Yeah.
But Dr. Heidegger besought them to stay a moment. "Before you drink, my respectable old friends," said he, "it would be well that, with the experience of a lifetime to direct you, you should draw up a few general rules for your guidance in passing a second time through the perils of your youth. I'm sorry, but this guy is like, here, have a bunch of water. I'm not going to drink it. Oh, wait, before you drink, decide on some rules."
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are
rules?
You...
Before you get young, why don't you write up a will? Because yeah. It certainly isn't poison.
Why don't I take out a quick life insurance policy?
That's exactly what this is. I guarantee these people all choke.
They all fucking perish.
Or they turn to flowers. And then
the
he gets turned on. He's like, now I'm going to be fucking me some big flowers.
Oh, fuck yes. These sexy fucking flowers.
I'm tired of fucking all these regular flowers. I want to fuck some human flowers.
Nothing's better than fucking a flower that was once human.
Dangerous garden.
I'm tired of being the big spoon. And you lay in bed with a flower.
What does that make you if you're laying in with a flower?
I feel like you're
like
still
a
the big spoon.
You're a big spade.
Think what a sin and shame it would be if, with your peculiar advantages, you should not become patterns of virtue and wisdom to all the young people of the age. The doctor's four venerable friends made him no answer, except by a feeble and tremulous laugh. So very ridiculous was the idea that, knowing how closely repentance treads behind the steps of error, they should ever go astray again. "Drink then," said the doctor, bowing. "I rejoice that I have so well selected the subjects of my experiment." See, when you keep calling
it... He keeps calling it an experiment.
Yeah.
He keeps calling it
I
that.
Don't trust that.
Yeah. Also, he's like, let's make some rules. And they're like,
sure.
Fuck. He needs to stop calling it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they need to wake up to that. With palsied hands, yikes, they raised the glasses
Rude.
To their lips. The liquor, if it really possessed such virtues as Dr. Heidegger imputed to it, could not have been bestowed on four human beings who needed it more woefully. They looked as if they had never known what youth or pleasure was, but had been the offspring of nature's dotage and always the gray, decrepit, sapless, miserable creatures who now sat stooping around the doctor's table without life enough in their souls or bodies to be animated even by the prospect of growing young again.
Yeah, this guy's really scared to get old.
Yeah, he is.
He's
he
not
is.
Looking forward
I
to
think...
it.
That's why he went at 60.
Yeah. But was that old then? This is like, oh, he is so ageist. My God.
Anyway, they drank off the water and replaced their glasses on the table.
Oh, shit. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Assuredly, there was an almost immediate improvement in the aspect of the party.
For now.
Not unlike what, yeah. They're all going to turn into little babies.
Shit. They're going to be sitting there.
He just
and
wants
then...
to raise babies. Yeah. He doesn't want to fuck him. He wants to raise him.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So
he wants to have sex with a room full of bendy buttons.
Yeah. Because it's not technically pedophilia if they lived that long.
Yeah. Their minds are of adults.
Yeah. They're at the age of consent, but they have children's bodies.
So disgusting.
Dream of dreams.
I hate everything I just said so much.
I thought it was very.
I thought it was great.
Clever and quick.
They're gonna like sit there and then they're gonna look at the rose and it's gonna be like a seed. And then they're gonna be like, oh shit. Fuck.
And then it's gonna turn to dust and then they'll see the face of God.
Oh Lord.
That's Dr. Heidegger.
Yeah.
Dr. Heidegger.
Yeah, I thought he was a nice guy.
Okay. An improvement in the aspect of the party, not unlike what might have been produced by a glass of generous wine, together with a sudden glow of cheerful sunshine brightening over all their visages. Vaginas. At
faces.
Once.
Just say faces. 5 and 50.
Over all their faces. Yeah, Mr. 5 and 50 over here. There was a healthful suffusion on their cheeks instead of the ashen hue that had made them look so corpse-like.
He does not have to keep talking about how disgusting and decrepit they are.
This is the same thing that happened with H.G. Wells. Yeah. He was like obsessed with talking about how old and disgusting these people were.
Disgusting, dried up slugs, a human being.
He really doesn't like specifically the hue of old things.
Yes, yeah. It's so gray.
Ew. I'm so scared. The color gray is so scary. They gazed at one another and fancied that some magic power had really begun to smooth away the deep and sad inscriptions which Father Time had been so long engraving on their brows. The Widow Wycherley adjusted her cap, for she felt almost like a woman again. Jesus! She was a woman!
Nah.
You stupid...
Oh, nah, dude.
Fuck you.
Barely human with those wrinkles.
She was a fucking canyon of a person.
Couldn't even make eye contact.
Yeah. Fucking good wrinkles God. Were...
Big old baggy skin hammocks under her eyes. Ugh,
more bag than woman.
She's 38!
Oh, why would you say that to me? You know how sensitive my cat.
Give us more of this wondrous water, cried they eagerly.
We are younger,
but we are still too old.
No.
Quick, give us more.
Oh, shit.
Patience, quoth Dr. Heidegger, who sat watching the experiment with philosophic coolness.
Patient? Oh, they didn't know they were signing up.
Mm-mm. They should have.
Yeah, the word experiment was being tossed
over
around.
Over and over. Yeah. You guys, that's what the story is called. Dummies. You have been a long time growing old. Surely you might be content to grow young in half an hour. But the water is at your service. Tempting them, you little snake in the garden of Eden.
He's rude.
Again, he filled their glasses with the liquor of youth, enough of which still remained in the vase to turn half the old people in the city to the age of their own grandchildren. While the bubbles were yet sparkling on the brim, the doctor's four guests snatched their glasses from the table and swallowed the contents at a single gulp. Was it delusion? Even while the drought was passing down their throats, it seemed to have wrought a change on their whole systems. Their eyes grew clear and bright. A dark shade deepened among their silvery locks. They sat around the table, three gentlemen of middle age and a woman hardly beyond her buxom prime. Again, fuck you.
Not to mention adding probiotics.
Yes, they ate some yogurt.
Yeah.
Oh, a sigh. All right, it's Chris's turn, and he gets to finish out the story.
Nothing makes me more nervous than reading aloud, especially when...
Oh, we should have told you about the podcast beforehand.
I got my hip done. I feel like I watched this thing called The Bleeding Edge on Netflix, and mm-hmm. it talks about metal-on-metal hips with cobalt in them, and then it's like there's a guy that goes blind and another guy with... dementia, memory problems, and I feel like I'm experiencing both.
Oh, cool.
And I have a cobalt hip, so I've gone kind of blind in the last just couple months.
Oh my God.
Well, we sometimes turn it to the side if you want to make it
better. I can find your spot.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm like, I can read things in a distance better than anyone. I'm still like 2017 or 1720 or whatever, but up close, I'm doomed.
Oh, really?
Especially reading from a phone. It's like, I don't know what happened. We'll get to the bottom of it, though.
Yeah,
just gotta get together. A blood test. My dear widow, you are charming, cried Colonel Killigrew, whose eyes had been fixed upon her face while the shadows of age were flitting from it. You know, flitting. Like darkness from the crimson daybreak. I would have said fleet, like, you know, the spores from a dandelion. That's what I would have said.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think you should take this story and just rewrite every line.
Fuck Nathaniel Hawthorne.
The fair widow knew of old that Colonel Kilgrew's compliments were not always measured by sober truth. So she started up and ran to the mirror. Remember that mirror?
Oh, fuck. It's the ghost mirror.
It's got a gilded cover.
Gilding cover and ghosts inside.
That's what happens if you drink too much of the potion.
You go in that goddamn mirror.
You get locked in that mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
She ran to the mirror, still dreading that the ugly visage of an old woman, God, would meet her gaze.
Nasty.
With all that history and years and wrinkles, make me sick.
Just like layers of life experience and shit.
It looks like a fucking gravestone.
Fucking wisdom of living.
Yeah, ugh. Just makes me want to wash her off with a hose. Wash the old off of you. Meanwhile, the three gentlemen, they're gentlemen.
Oh, shit.
You see, when men age, it's gentlemen.
Yeah. It's distinguished. When you're an old widow, you're wizened.
Yeah, you're not even a woman. You're a widow.
Yeah.
Just put your face behind this one-sided mirror. Cover it up.
Here, take this fucking veil.
The three gentlemen behaved in such a manner as proved that the water of the Fountain of Youth possessed some intoxicating qualities.
Oh, shit. Their dicks are out. Right? And hard.
I know.
They're getting young and drunk.
Yeah.
Not a good combo, guys.
Not a good combo.
Unless, indeed, their exhilaration of spirits were merely a lightsome dizziness caused by the sudden removal of the weight of years, otherwise known as age.
Yeah.
Mr. Gas.
There are only so many times you can say old and age in here.
Gasciognes?
Oh, Gascioni.
That's Gascioni. Oh, thank you. I don't spend much time on the East Coast. Mr. Gascioni's mind seemed to run political topics, whether relating to the past, present, or future, could not easily be determined, since the same ideas and phrases have been in vogue these 50 years.
Oh, shit.
Or 45. Five and forty. Damn it. That's something that Ryan Seacrest did
say.
Five and 40. I'm a fake human. Now he rattled forth full throated sentences. Boy, how ironic that I just said all that with my mouth. He rattled forth full throated sentences about patriotism, national glory,
and
the people's right. Wow, he drank some Trump juice.
Some Twitter juice.
Now he muttered some pillorous stuff or other in a sly and doubtful whisper.
So,
well, there's some stuff and some other. In the sly and doubtful whisper, so cautiously that even his own conscience could scarcely catch the secret. And now, again, he spoke in measured accounts in a deeply deferential tone, as if a royal ear were listening to his well-turned periods.
Okay. He's done like 9 different things.
Okay.
Yeah, that Colonel Kilgrew.
He's drunk.
Yeah.
He's like, and one should be beholden to one's country for the forefathers. They drew up in a thing. Oh my God, how long have I been talking?
Sorry, I'm just drunk in my pants.
I've lost my mind. Madness.
Colonel Kilgrew all this time had been trolling forth a jolly bottle song. Ah, remember those?
Jolly bottle songs.
And ringing its glass in symphony. With the chorus. What chorus? While his eyes wandered toward the buxom figure of the widow
Whiterly
on the other side of the table, Mr. Medbourne, boy, was involved in a calculation of dollars and cents. He's just doing his taxes.
Got like an abacus in front of him.
Finally, I can think clearly again without all this age clogging up my
math
brain.
Math is easy. I'm like the kid from Goodwill Hunting. Okay. with which was strangely intermingled a project for supplying the East Indies with ice. Wow, he's working on international
trades.
Yeah. by harnessing a team of whales to the polar icebergs.
Whoa.
Oh, ended up being a bad idea.
Okay. all the men, they're noticing that they're getting younger in their brain, and the woman, she's noticing she's getting younger in her boobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, her heaving bosom.
Yeah, cool. And then meanwhile, he has
not thinking about a single thing. No.
He's getting young, like a 12-year-old's idea to put saddles on whales.
I know.
To yank in some icebergs.
All we gotta do is hitch them up to the icebergs and bring the icebergs here.
You sound like a fifth grader.
Yeah. Not do you want to see my drawing of my ideal bedroom? So over here, it's a water park. And then if you look over here, it's a bunch of models and Kathy Ireland's there sleeping on a bed together.
Don't you think that I could get a water bed if we just filled a trash bag up with water?
Or a bed that looks like a Corvette? As for the widow Weicherly, how could you just edit
it's got to be how it's said, right?
As for like Weicherly? That's what I thought.
Widow Weicherly.
Weicherly. Oh, that's probably
however you want to say.
I like Weicherly.
Oh, Widow Weicherly. She stood before the mirror, courtesying and simpering to her own image.
She's just like making out with herself.
They are so not words that they're highlighted by a red line. courtesying being one of those words. Or maybe it's curtsying.
Curtsying.
No. Courtesying.
Maybe they spelled it
different. But the spelling is weird for a lot of the words.
Yeah, a lot of these got ruled out by, that word
we
sucks.
people being like, let's not do that anymore. Americans went, get all these U's out of our words.
Yeah.
Fucking British.
Yeah, it's probably actually a sign of us dumbing up.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But I'm threatened by it. This whole podcast has made me feel dumb. Okay.
No, it's reading.
It's reading. It's the, okay. Anyway, but get a load of this. Her own image and greeted it as the friend whom she loved better than all the world beside. She thrust her face close to the glass to see whether some long-remembered wrinkle or crow's foot had indeed vanished.
Are they just drunk? Did he give them, like, Everclear or something? What's going on?
They're de-aging, and they're also drunk.
Yeah. Okay. She examined
he's trying to put saddles on whales, and she's, like, fully about to make out with her own image.
Yeah. She's cutting off the feet of crows and putting them on her face. Mm-hmm. What if I just didn't know that was a type of
okay. Yeah, she's totally doing that.
Yeah, chopping off bird feet. She examined whether the snow had so entirely melted from her hair. That's just dandruff, girl.
Yeah.
That the venerable
Delson
cap
blue?
Could be safely thrown aside. At last, turning briskly away, she came with a sort of dancing step to the table.
Oh, shit. Okay. They're all gone.
Never too old to have fun.
Certainly not now.
My dear old doctor, cried she. Pray favor. Bilingual. Me with another glass. Certainly, my dear madame, certainly, replied the complacent doctor. See,
complacent.
I already filled the glasses. Oh, that sounds
oh,
like
no,
a
no,
trick.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
I don't like where this is going.
You're all about to drink his piss.
Sorry. That's what this is all about. He's like, and then once they've had a whole bunch of the Fountain of Youth water, fuck it. Put my pee in the rest of it, and they're gonna drink my pee.
It's an elaborate old timey jackass prank.
They're like, oh, you did the pee thing.
Oh man,
I can't believe drinking his piss for that. Man, I think I drank like a gallon of that dude's piss.
Every time they come over, he comes up with new ways for them to drink his pee, and this time he's like, and they haven't fallen for it for like a year now, and he's like, I'm going to fucking find the fucking Fountain of Youth.
Yeah. And then I'll get
it. It's
it
real. It works.
The real
really
Fountain of Youth.
Yeah. Just to get them to drink my sweet, sweet pee. Here, in fact, stood the four glasses brimful of his wonderful water.
Yeah,
that's what he calls it. The delicate spray of which, come on, dude, is as effervescent from the surface. From the surface? That's what? It's called a urethra. Sorry, that's too medical. Resembled the tremulous glitter of diamonds. It was, ooh.
Ooh,
it
he
was
has
now,
crystals in his pee.
Yeah.
Drink
I
more
think,
water.
Yeah. You are passing stones. It was now so nearly sunset that the chamber had grown duskier than ever, but a mild and moonlike splendor gleamed from within the vase. And rested alike on the four guests and on the doctor's venerable figure. He sat in a high-backed, elaborately carved oaken armchair with a gray dignity.
Back to describing the room.
Yeah. Oh boy.
And that skeleton was still there.
The next few sentences are about hues of different wood.
You know what I love in a story about people de-aging, going right back to describing an old room.
Yeah, let's live in the room a little.
Anyway, back to this oaken armchair with a gray dignity of aspect. God, if it's not literal, it's symbolic here. Mm-hmm. Okay. That might have well befitted that very Father Time, whose power had never been disputed, save by his fortunate company. Even while quaffing the third draught of the Fountain of Youth, or draft, probably.
I said it wrong.
Similar words. They were almost awed by the expression of his mysterious visage. But the next moment, the exhilarating gush of young life shot through their veins.
Mm-hmm.
They were now, they drank his pee.
And it was delicious.
They were now in the happy prime of youth. There we go. Benji Butts.
Nice.
Age, with its miserable train of cares and sorrows and diseases, was remembered only as the trouble of a dream from which they had joyously awoke. The fresh gloss of the soul, so early lost and without the world's successive scenes, time passing. It had been but a gallery of faded pictures. Again, through its enchantment over all their prospects, they felt like new created beings in a new created universe. We're young! We're young! They cried.
Oh, man.
Exultingly.
I'm so scared.
Youth, like,
fucking idiots.
They start spray painting the wall and breakdancing. Youth, like the extremity of age, had effaced the strongly marked characteristics of middle life and mutually assimilated them all. They were a group of merry youngsters.
Man, you just know there's going to be a study coming out on BuzzFeed in a couple days after this. It's like the Fountain of Youth causes cancer.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Or just makes you die earlier. You get younger, but you die right on schedule. merry youngsters almost maddened with the exuberant frolicsomeness of their years.
Frolicsomeness.
That one I want to bring back. Frolicsomeness. That's a kick-ass. That rolls off the tongue.
Very frolicsome. Mm-hmm.
The most singular effect of their gaiety, do not know, do not care, was an impulse to mock the affirmity and decrepitude of what they had
gaiety.
So lately. it is gay. Was it? Oh, my God. See, you guys, this is a trick. Gaiety.
We brought you on here to be like, I bet Chris doesn't know the word gaiety when he reads it. I bet he's only heard it and not read it.
I'm like total homophobe. Gaiety. That is gaiety.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys. They laughed loudly at their old-fashioned attire and wide-skirted coats and flapped waistcoats of the young men. Yeah, those are all young people clothes.
Yeah.
And the ancient cap and gown of the blooming girl. Once limped across the floor like a gouty grandfather, one set a pair of spectacles astride of his nose and pretended to pore over the black letter pages of the Book of Magic. A third seated himself in an armchair and strove to imitate the venerable dignity of Dr. Heidegger.
What?
I don't know.
What are they doing?
I guess it's imitating.
It's like, so they all got young. They all just like reached prime age. And then we're like, one of them's like, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to pretend to read that book. And the other one's like, I'm going to go sit like this guy.
Why are they? So they're just like pretending?
I don't know what's
going on.
They're imitating the venerable dignity of Dr. Heidegger. Sure. Then all shouted mirthfully and leaped out of the room. Okay.
Whee!
The widow, thank you. Sound effects. The widow, why Charlie, if so fresh a damsel could be called a widow, tripped up to the doctor's chair.
If you're young, your husband can't die.
Yeah.
It's true.
You're too young to be a widow. With a mischievous merriment in her rosy face. Doctor, you dear old soul, she cried, get up and dance with me. And then the four young people laughed louder than ever.
Oh, rude.
What a queer figure the poor old doctor would cut. Pray excuse me, answered the doctor quietly. I'm an old and rheumatic, and my dancing days were long ago. But either these gay young gentlemen will be glad of so pretty a partner. Dance with me, Clara, cried
Colonel
Killigrew.
Oh, now she's got a first name that she's young.
Yeah.
She's
oh, yeah, she's first name again. That's first nice. Name.
No, you're probably onto something. No, no, I want to be your partner. Shouted Mr. Gascione.
Kill each other.
That's how
kill
we do
each other.
It.
Wait, they're gonna fucking kill each other.
Yeah, we're about to be neck slicing. Remember, nice
oh,
to the neck.
Shit.
Yeah, this was all.
And then she's gonna be left, and then he's gonna be like, "Now be with me."
She promised her hand to me 50 years ago.
I think that's it. He's exclaimed, gonna drink it later.
Five oh, yeah. and 45 Mr. years ago.
They all gathered around her. I'm sure she was God. Stoked about this.
She's like, "Oh yay! So they're glad. All gathering."
I love it when. Men gather around me.
Yeah, this is turning into a scene. Okay. One caught both her hands in nope. the passionate grasp. That's probably the word only he would use.
Yeah.
Another threw his arm about her waist.
Brett?
Now we're dancing.
Brett?
The third buried
Brett,
his
like
hand.
To talk to you.
Oh, has buried his hand among the glossy curls that clustered beneath the
Do
widow's cap.
Do not touch Brett? Her fucking hair. Do not touch her fucking hair. Is that a Don't. Joke?
She just got it did by some potion.
Excuse me. I just got my hair done by this water. No, please do
I'm
not
flirting.
Mess it up.
I'm flirting. You know, pulling your hair. Blushing, panting, struggling, chiding, laughing, her warm breath fanning each of their faces.
Jesus fucking
by
Christ.
Turns,
it's an orgy.
She yeah. strove to disengage herself. This
okay.
is rape.
Yeah.
Yet still remained in their triple embrace.
Okay.
Boy.
Brett. All right, Brett.
Brett.
Never was there a livelier picture of youthful rivalship. That's all that
it's called.
That's all
the
that a
1800s
rape.
Version of Boys Will Be Boys.
Yay.
With bewitching beauty for the
normal.
Prize. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, I love when guys like call me like a prize.
Yeah.
Like I'm a thing.
I only like it if multiple of them are calling me a prize and trying to paw at me.
Like yeah. if they're like gathered and calling
and,
me a prize.
And pawing at me.
I love
oh
that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dream of dreams.
Just yanking at
That's
me.
That's how
like,
I know
like,
I'm pretty.
Touch my hair. Touch my hands. I love
touch
it.
Touch my waist.
Touch my waist.
If I try to move across a room, do not let me.
It just means I'm like playing.
Yet by a strange deception, owing into the duskiness of the chamber and the antique dresses which they still wore. The tall mirror is said to have reflected the figures of three old gray withered grandsires or grandsires. Boy, my talk about old.
Do not
I'm
worry
growing
about
old
it.
As I read this. Ridiculously contending for the skinny ugliness of a shriveled grandam.
Shut the fuck up, Hawthorne.
Yeah, yeah.
For
but they were young.
Sake,
hey, they
fucking
were young.
Witch killing.
They were young.
They
only
were
motherfuckers.
Young. They were young. Their burning passions proved them so. Inflamed to madness by the
croquetry?
What's that?
Croquetry.
Oh, yes. Croquet tree of the girl widow, who neither granted nor quite withheld her favors. The three rivals began to interchange threatening glances.
What?
Yeah, the knives are coming out.
Okay, they're going to cut each other's throats.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Still yeah, keeping hold of their fair prize, they grappled fiercely at one another's throats. Here comes the throat
yeah,
stuff.
Throat
As
stuff.
They struggled to and fro,
yes.
the table was overturned.
Oh,
oh that nice black one.
All the black table.
And
oh,
the
no,
vase
all that
dashed
water.
Into a thousand fragments. The vase!
Oh my God, the vase!
The precious water of youth. Flowed
Fuck.
In a bright stream across the floor.
Lick it up.
But it
lick
really
it up.
Brought back the life like to the floor would.
yeah.
It's like pledge.
It like grows
no,
into a
like
tree.
It's like when we first had it put in, darling.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh my God, what is this? 1820?
Marcus,
we
come
just
look.
Did you just shellac this? No.
Did we just kill this tree?
Potion.
Moistening the wings of a butterfly, which, grown old in the decline of summer, had alighted there to die.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. The insect fluttered lightly through the
caterpillar.
Chamber.
Turns into a caterpillar.
And settled on
what?
The snowy head of Dr. Heidecker.
Oh, fuck.
Come on, gentlemen. Come, Madam Weikerly, exclaimed the doctor. I really must protest against this, oh, riot.
Oh, all right.
They stood still and shivered, for it all seemed as if gray time were calling them back from their sunny youth.
Uh-oh.
Far down into the chill and darksome veil of years.
Uh-oh.
They looked at old Dr. Heidegger, who sat in his carved armchair. What kind of wood was it? Holding a rose.
If you don't say, I can't imagine it.
Yeah, oh, he's holding the sexy rose of half a century.
Oh, shit.
Which he had rescued from among the fragments of the shattered vase. I burped. At the motion of his hand, the four rioters resumed their seats. That's not what a riot is, by the way.
No, that was just like an assault.
Yeah.
It was a riotous assault.
Yes. The more readily, because their violent exertions had wearied them, youthful though they were. My poor Sylvia's rose, ejaculated Dr. Heidegger.
Yeah. They used that word differently.
Yeah, yeah. Holding in the light of the sunset clouds, it appears to be fading again. And so it was. This is so cruel that he did this to them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, trickery. Yeah, he knew the whole time.
He knew. For sure he
knocked the vase over.
And so it was.
Yeah,
Even while the party were looking at it, the flower continued to shrivel up till it became as dry and fragile as when the doctor had first thrown it into the vase. He shook off a few drops of moisture, which clung to its petals. I love it as well, thus in its dewy freshness, observed he, pressing the withered rose to his withered lips. While he spoke, the butterfly fluttered down from the doctor's snowy head. Dandruff, all of them.
Yeah. All of them.
And fell upon the floor. His guests shivered again, a strange chillness, whether of the body or spirit they could not tell, was creeping gradually all over them. They gazed at one another and fancied that each fleeting moment snatched away a charm and left a deepening furrow where none had been before. Was it an illusion? Oh, had the changes of a lifetime been crowded?
I'm going to say probably not, since you just drank a youth potion.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys just got to go find some more of that.
You got to keep drinking it.
Keep drinking it forever.
That's how addiction is.
It's not an illusion,
you guys.
You
can't burp it out of your, like, fizzy lifting drinks. I can only reference movies. Did you know? All right, anyway.
I referenced it earlier.
Had the changes of a lifetime been crowded into so brief a space?
Yep.
And were they now four aged people sitting with their old friend?
I'm going to say yes.
Old Dr. Heidegger?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Are we grown old again? So soon?
Mm-hmm.
They cried? Boy, you catch on fast, whoever said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In truth, they had. Boy, we kind of saw that coming.
Yeah.
The water of youth possessed merely a virtue more transient than that of wine. It's like being drunk, guys.
Yeah, but like even shorter.
It doesn't last, yeah.
The delirium which it created.
Hope there's not a hangover.
Oh, God, they die. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, the delirium had effervesced away. Yes, they were old again. Yes, we know.
Yeah, we got it.
With the shuddering impulse, they showed her a woman still. The widow clasped her skinny hands before her face.
Like, oh, now no one wants to rape me.
Oh, God.
I'm unrapeable.
I had one chance with the group.
Past rapeable age.
Oh, man. She clasped her skinny hands over her face and wished that the coffin lid were over it. Since it could no longer be beautiful.
Oh, fuck you, Hawthorne.
I wish my hands were a coffin lid.
I'd rather have coffins for hands than be old.
I wish I had casket fingers.
Yes. Find me a potion that does that, old Dr. Heidegger.
Yes, friends, we are old again, said Dr. Heidegger. And lo, the water of youth is all lavished on the ground. Well, I bemoan it not. You didn't fucking take any. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. What a turn.
Remember when I said experiment? For the fountain gushed at my very doorstep, I would not stoop to bathe my lips in it. No, through its delirium were for years instead of moments. Such is the lesson ye have taught me.
Wait, what is his lesson?
Fucking bitch.
That youth is just a temporary thing. Even if you bring it back, you're going to go back to old. Time is but we're all spinning on an earth, and soon we'll be mulched Tits up dirt food. Worm
dirt
lunch.
Food.
Tits up but, dirt food.
But the doctor's four friends had taught no such lessons to themselves.
Yeah.
They resolved forthwith to make a pilgrimage to Florida.
I was this right. This is why old people live there.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
this
me?
This is just one long Florida joke.
Oh, my God.
Make a pilgrimage to Florida.
Oh, my God.
And quaff at morning, noon, and night from the fountain of youth.
Oh, my God. No.
The end.
This is why old people retire in Florida.
Now cue the welcome to Miami.
Bienvenidos a Miami. Oh, my God. What
that
a
was
story.
Very funny.
I haven't read out loud for a long time.
Good joke, Brett. That was a very long setup, but a very fulfilling punchline.
Yeah, that was funny, dude.
I thought, where were they during that story? I wasn't paying attention.
They were all
like
just in a little
New York
parlor.
I don't know.
I'm guessing Massachusetts.
Because they said Floridian, and I was like, that probably is an old-timey powdered wig, or they're talking about fluoride. But they're...
No, Florida.
It was about Florida.
Yeah, I Googled it. Floridian Peninsula is a name, I guess.
Is there some truth behind... I mean, beyond that story...
Just the Ponce de Leon stuff.
Yeah.
Where is the Fountain of Youth?
I mean, when I went to England to Buxton, England.
Just like that woman when she drank.
Well, they had the fountain there that was like supposed to help with inflammation, and Mary Queen of Scots used to go there, and it would help her with pain. And I went to the, and now
Pop
Nestle
Joe is
like
nodding.
Bottles there. Yeah. But I had arthritis pretty bad at the time, like a weird arthritis that I had in my body. And I drank from it, and I don't think it was psychosomatic. I think that it really did work. I was like, I feel great. And I was going back to this thing for 3 days. I was just drinking this water and it was terrific.
Huh.
And apparently they were all mad. Like Nestle, it was,
they're trying
logo.
To steal that.
No, they were totally bottling it there, and Nestle's kind of a shitty company.
Yeah, they're stealing the magic water.
Yeah,
classic.
Of course.
Did you know you can go to the Fountain of Youth Archaeological Park?
I would have guessed it.
It's in Florida, St. Augustine.
Never thought about
it. I didn't.
The Ponce de Leon thing. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Is it real? Because this was a fountain. I just went. It was like a stone fountain.
Yeah.
And I actually drank out of it.
And you felt
like,
great.
I'm like, well,
I wonder if
this is silly. But
my psychiatrist told me that they use far lower dosages of lithium now because they were like, we didn't need to be giving people that much.
That's their bipolar.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were giving it to people for. So I'm thinking about taking it because I'm bipolar disorder too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about maybe me trying to switch to that because it like is a little... better, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so he's telling me how there are studies done because like lithium in some places is just in the water. Like a very, very, very low dose of lithium just exists in the nearby water supply. And that there have been studies done finding that people there are happier.
Really?
their moods are better. Wow. And so I wonder if it was something like that.
Well, like, yeah, there's fluoride in the water supply in Missoula, Montana, where I'm from. And my mom was never happy about that. But almost all my friends have no cavities.
Exactly.
My dad grew up in Montana.
Oh,
and
yeah?
He, I think, has one cavity and he's like 60.
Yeah.
I've never had a cavity.
I thought there was fluoride in all the water.
Yeah, I think it's more common. Maybe it was also... More specifically,
I mean,
there's more fluoride
and uninformed.
No,
but.
No, I think it is common. Yeah. And then at my school, they did have, though, just at Paxson Elementary, they had a swish swash program that they weren't doing at other schools. And you would drink it and get nauseous. I would always be.
You weren't supposed to drink it.
No, well, you're a kid, and of course you're going to be like, this tastes good, swallow. And then it's like, I have to vomit. Like, I remember getting sick from it. It was but... Anyone that went to that school with me doesn't have cavities either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swish-wash program.
Yeah.
I like the name of that. It's fun.
Yeah. Swish-wash. Yeah, it sounds like it's going
to
be fun.
So it's just like they bring fluoride to the school and kids are supposed to swish it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Cute.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
That was an interesting story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not much of an experiment, though, was it?
It was more just like a mean thing he did to his friends.
Terribly scientific.
Yeah, I really thought.
Where did you get that doctor title from?
Oh, yeah. Back then, anybody could be a doctor.
I mean, he maybe did teach him a lesson. I really thought they were going to go back and age rapidly.
Yeah, I thought that's what I thought too.
And it's like, he's like evil, but no, he's like, well, I learned a lesson, even if you didn't.
Well, I found this very interesting.
He's just like regular human, like friend evil.
He's just a guy.
He's just like, I'm just gonna like kind of be a dick to you and
see if you have a riot in your loins.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
I guess I haven't read the word gaiety in him. I'd say it.
Yeah. I don't think, it isn't in a lot of current literature.
No, it's not.
G-A-Y-E-T-Y. That's
Gaiety. I've always seen it with
usually,
I.
Yeah, I think more commonly it's spelled with an I now.
This is ancient times writing.
And the imitate was one M. It wasn't so much my vision as words were spelled weird.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, the words were spelled
weird. We get thrown off all the time.
All the time.
Okay, I think I just encountered fewer of them.
I don't like feeling dumb.
No, you weren't dumb.
And you guys all think I'm dumb.
No.
Everyone listening thinks I'm dumb.
No.
You know, books are just made to make guys like me feel dumb.
Chris.
I'm strong.
You are strong.
I can run faster than anyone in this room.
You can run fast and you can read.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you for talking me down from a ledge. Turns out I too learned a lesson today.
Thank you for coming for our experiment.
Yeah. I'm Dr. Lindsay. This is Dr. Kelly.
Thank you so much for doing the show, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Do you want to re-plug your Boise, Idaho dates?
Oh, yeah. I'll be
Since I failed?
No. I'll be at the 208 Festival in early September, which
September 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Thank you.
Well, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I don't know which day you will be performing, but you know what? You fucking Google it, you assholes.
Yeah.
We just read a whole story for you.
Yeah.
Some work.
We, just like, fucking slogged fucking up work. River through a story for you.
Yeah. Google my name and look at my drawings.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Look at his drawings. Know that when he's making them, he doesn't like sitting.
And that he does it for you.
And that he's doing it for you. So be grateful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you be found on the internet?
Yes. ChrisFairings.com.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We also appreciate everybody that's been leaving lovely reviews on Apple Podcasts and the podcast apps of your choice. If you want to help us, that is the best way to do it. New shows benefit the most from those ratings, as
really
weird
do.
As it is.
It really helps.
It seriously helps.
Yes.
Yep.
So do that. Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Keep it lit.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.